We know that this is a long, well-tested and tried tactic of power, which is to infiltrate movements on the left and not just gather information, but try to direct them in such a way that they get destroyed. So last week was prompted by, as I said, my gratitude to Seth Rosenfeld for, you know, naming this thing or bringing it back to our attention. What I said last week, D-Way, is that for me, the part of the story that I felt was not being looked at and that needs to be looked at is the vulnerability of our children. Richard Aoki was tapped as a conservative young person in high school, and the FBI was able, because young people are naive, because young people want to be heroic. I think we all do. And the appeal to patriotism doesn't work with all young people, but it does to a few. And I believe those young people are particularly identified and targeted and used. So this is what prompted my wanting to talk about this.
So what you're saying is that in the system, we have a particular responsibility to our young people because they are so vulnerable and so put in the crosshairs and used as a tool for power.
Right. And what I think is that particularly as elders who have some consciousness, in fact, conscious anybody, to spend some time pondering this topic, which is, are we giving young people what they need early on, early enough to allow them to become more critical of authority figures who try to mislead or dupe?
What do you think the responsibility, are you saying that that as elders, elders in communities need to step up and have a voice in order to ground you know, this reality, this movement that we're in? How do we prevent people like, you know, this individual and others who are being duped by the system from doing so?
From being duped. How prevent young people from being duped? Well, this ties into, I think, all of our conversations in a way, because it goes to the heart of how this system perpetuates itself. Because if we are willing to abandon our own children, we're willing to abandon anything, right? I mean, most of us have had to put our lives on hold in order to survive. And we tell ourselves that, well, at least what I'm doing will allow the next generation to have a better life. And yet for the very reason that we are kept busy surviving, we aren't able to really look at this so-called better life issue and what it is that we're telling ourselves our children are getting because we have no time for them because we have to work or otherwise get money to live. So I believe, and it also ties into our conversations about the whole survival game itself, the fact that because this is the operating principle of this system is supremacy and hierarchy. I think if you combine supremacy with ranking, the class, the notion of ordering people by order of quality, you have hierarchy. And so we have a single operating principle that operates worldwide called hierarchy, and all of us buy into it until we have time to become more conscious and realize that it doesn't serve us, the vast majority, that is everybody, because, you know, 10,000 people who want to be philosopher kings should not hold the rest of us hostage. So when you ask me, D-Way, what could conscious elders do, what I argued last week is that we have to provide an alternative story to the race, to hierarchy, and we have to begin talking with young people. And it's difficult because I think, as we've been saying, we're not all done with the system. We manifest the system. And so until we're done with the system, how can we provide young people with an alternative operating premise which runs counter to the system? And we want our children to survive in the system. And so we, you know, settle and make do and give up everything that made life worth living in order to allow our young people to wear a more comfortable collar and leash. So, and halter, you know. I mean, some of us get the nicer accessories, and some don't. Some have to be tied up in chains. But we're all tied up. So am I getting to an answer to your question, D-Way? I'm arguing that in order to help our young people not be vulnerable to the appeals of power, to use them. And this is the most extreme example, I guess you could say. I mean, no, maybe the military. But this more invisible use, turning them into soldiers that are invisible, is not being addressed. We have a surveillance state, which means it needs troops that operate behind scenes, clandestinely, essentially invisibly. And so these young people can't talk about it. They can't say, is this right? You know what I'm saying? It's like they're trapped.
Yeah, and well, they also perhaps don't even know the full extent of what it is that they're doing. There's a need-to-know basis based on the hierarchy that is set up and put into place, and you argue, which is based on Plato's teachings. But it's hard when you're born within a system to be able to view it from outside of the perspective of the box that you're in. I work with kids, and so I see firsthand that level of conditioning that the educational system is used to mold our children, giving their power over to authority, to, you know, following rules, taking orders, and all of that is set up within the educational system. So and having a child, who in a couple of years I'm going to have to figure out, well, how am I, what path am I going to take as a parent in his quote unquote education,